and welcome to the Pac-Man Podcast, Patriotic American Citizen. I'm Ted Flint on the BMG Network. Some excitement today in New York City. Thursday, as I record this, April the 18th, there was a demonstration of sorts. Of course, if the right wing took part in it, it would be called an insurrection. There was a demonstration at the Columbia University campus. It was like 1968. And I'm, you know, old enough to remember 1968. I was a very young child. There were riots and demonstrations there for a time as well. But this took place today in New York City at Columbia. Finally, the police just dispersed these idiots. Bunch of communists protesting against Israel and for Palestine and for Hamas. They are just anti-American Marxists. The police said, you know, enough's enough. And the police, my wife pointed out, some of these riot police are, you know, women about 5 feet tall. I mean, what are they going to do if real trouble were to break out? But fortunately, nobody was injured and no cops anyway. And but anyway, that happened in New York City today. And what did Drudge talk about? If you go to Drudge, and I haven't gone to Drudge in a long time, now I see why. I mean, all they can talk about, they're fixated on Donald Trump, as most of the mainstream media is. Trump trial judge scolds media. 12 jurors seated. Don violates the gag order 7 more times. And on it goes. Trump juror number 4 excused for arrest. Juror number 2 intimidated, could no longer be impartial. And on it goes about this sham trial in New York City, the alleged or so-called hush money trial. And that's what the media is focused on, because they think it's going to destroy Trump, but he's just getting stronger and stronger in the polls. He's leading in 6 of the 7 swing states. There's, I guess, he and Biden are tied in Wisconsin. But I mean, it's just like there's so much more happening. Obviously, what's happening in Israel is important. Iran is basically taunting Israel, saying if you want more, you know, you're going to get more airstrikes. Their strikes were a dismal failure. It just shows you what a third-rate military Iran is. Israel just took all the incoming drones and missile attacks and just, with their defense system, just took care of business. Anyway, and not only, another interesting part of this, in Israel, there is some support from some of the Arab countries. Jordan is supporting Israel on a small scale, as is Saudi Arabia. And Iran doesn't like it. Of course, Saudi Arabia and Jordan have issues with Iran anyway. So what's happening in the Middle East is always important. What's happening in New York State, I say not so much, but I mean, the state budget is now 18 days late, 17 days as we record this, and there is a conceptual agreement. There are budget bills being passed as we record this. So at some point, they'll have a budget in the next 24 to 48 hours. I mean, how many people care about it? Not enough, obviously. And there's a new report just out. I'm reading in the New York Post, a piece by Betsy McCoy, that shows New York's economic prospects are plunging to dead last among the 50 states. We're 47th in what residents get for the money, according to WalletHub. New York spends the most per public school pupil, but students perform worse by every measure than students in neighboring states. According to MoneyGeek, New York roads are 45th in the country. But just to focus on the schools, we're funding education at a level never seen. $36 billion, just under, for public education, government schools. And a lot of these kids, I mean, we have hundreds of thousands of fewer students than we did back in 02. From 2002 to 2020, New York's public school enrollment dropped by 180,000. I'll call them pupils, very few students. Then COVID hit, and then we lost another 160,000 pupils in the public schools. 340,000 fewer pupils than there were 22 years ago. But we're just giving more money to these districts. The Assembly and Senate continue giving cash to districts for students who are no longer there. I mean, is that a wise use of taxpayer dollars? We spend nearly $31,000 per pupil in New York State. We've lost more than 6% of our student body. But the state's public school system has added thousands of new staff. We see this all over the state. Taxpayer money is increasingly shifted to pay for employee benefits, and they're always rising, the benefits. Pensions, health insurance, on it goes. Taxpayers have to pick up the tab. And the tab is getting increasingly more expensive, like everything else. We're just not getting our bang for the buck. And these lawmakers, I mean, I work for the Assembly. And you know, if, in the interest of full disclosure, Republicans, we have, I think, 49 members. But assemblymen and senators make $142,000 a year for 61 days in session. No follow-up to how these tax dollars are being spent. New York's economy is falling among the 50 states. Arthur Laffer and Steve Moore put out a piece. Arthur Laffer was with the Reagan administration. He was Reagan's money guy. Steve Moore with, I forget what organization he represents. I've interviewed him once or twice. He's, you know, when it comes to money issues, I mean, these guys are brilliant. They're saying Moore and Laffer, which is no laughing matter, the state is going to fall to last place among all 50 states in the coming year. The reason? I mean, the combined state and local tax burden. We have the highest tax rate, state and local, of any state in the country. High workers' compensation costs. Highest energy costs. And they're getting higher. Highest in the country. They're eating away at businesses' bottom line. And the bottom line is we have fewer and fewer money makers, people who produce the wealth. They're leaving. They are leaving. They're going, you know, looking for greener pastures, which is not hard to find. Florida, Texas, you name it. They go south where their taxes are lower, fewer regulations. We're stuck here in New York, those of us who are raising families and who love the state. I mean, I love New York State. I was born here. My roots are here, but I don't know how much longer I can stay here, frankly. Gasoline prices at the pump, it's like they go up a nickel a day, up to $3.79 here locally for a gallon of gasoline. A six-month high, $3.60-something a gallon, more than 50% higher than they were when Joe Biden took office. Over the past month alone, pump prices have surged by more than 25 cents a gallon. You know, I can't afford to go to work anymore. I'm 35 miles away from work. You know, when Trump was in office, I forget, it was $2.38 a gallon gasoline. And they can, you know, can blame various factors. I know what's happening in the Middle East is not helping Ukraine. Some of it's supply and demand. But the bottom line is the federal government has capped drilling on federal lands for the most part, which has sent the wrong signal to the markets, to Wall Street. Goldman Sachs has projected gas prices could hit $4 a gallon by May. That's in 2 weeks. Some analysts suggest it could possibly reach $5 a gallon or more in the near future. You know, Build Back Better isn't working that well. January can't come quickly enough. We get this guy out of office. Hopefully Republicans take control of both the Senate and they maintain control of the House. And we get back to business here, growing the economy, growing the pie instead of shrinking the pie and making the pieces smaller. But these liberals that dominate this administration, they believe that getting wealthy is a zero-sum game. If you're getting wealthy, you're doing it at somebody else's expense. Free markets don't work that way. They don't work that way. The inflation, the Biden inflation, they call it Bidenflation, 3.5% in March. I mean, year to year, I forget what the number is. I don't even pay attention to the numbers. I mean, you know, eggs are $4.50 a dozen at can't afford. I mean, I get my eggs at Aldi's. I've mentioned this. $1.81 a dozen. Milk is up. Gasoline. We mentioned gasoline. Everything's up. But my salary. I mean, you know, it's crazy. It's unbelievable. And it's not going to get better anytime soon. According to the Carolina Journal, a student, he's 16 years old, and he attends Central Davidson High School in Lexington, North Carolina, received a 3-day suspension last week. You know, you want to know why he was suspended? He used the term illegal alien during a vocabulary assignment in English class. Leah McGee is the mother of the student. She reported the vocabulary exercise included the word alien. Trying to clarify, her son inquired, like space aliens or illegal aliens without green cards? You know, it's got a sense of humor. Well, the teacher didn't find it amusing. So there was a conflict with another student, which evidently escalated to the point where the teacher had to bring in the assistant principal. So there was an investigation. The school administration deemed McGee's son's words offensive and disrespectful towards Hispanic classmates. That's what resulted in his suspension. But In his defense, I mean, the kid said, I didn't make any statement directed towards anyone. He didn't mention Hispanics. I asked a question. I wasn't speaking of Hispanics per se, because everyone from other countries needs green cards, and the term illegal alien is an actual term that I hear on the news and can find in the dictionary. And he's right. They're not migrants. They're illegal aliens. They're not citizens. So the parents, as you might expect, are concerned. This might affect the kid's record. He's an excellent student, dedicated athlete. Can't say illegal alien. And I'm reading here in this piece, where did I get this? I guess it was maybe Newsmax. In 2021, Biden introduced some changes to immigration policies, and the efforts included a plan to establish an 8-year path to citizenship for around 11 million illegals. He calls them undocumented migrants, but they're illegal aliens in this country. And he eliminated the use of the term alien in legal language, which he claims is dehumanizing. Well, I got news for the president, if you can call him president. The government is not allowed to dictate what language is acceptable and what language is not. It's not allowed. The Constitution doesn't permit that, to my knowledge. It's like Soviet Russia under this regime. One of the great NFL running backs of all time passed away since we last spoke, O.J. Simpson, 76, and I love the New York Post, and their headlines are just phenomenal. Shows a picture of Simpson's face back when he was on trial in the 90s. It says, football star, actor, murderer, liar, O.J. Simpson, 76. Real killer is dead, is how the big headline puts it on the front page of the Post. And, you know, he was a real killer. There were no ifs, ands, or buts about it. He served 9 years. He was found guilty in the civil trial. Served 9 years in prison. She's in front of a higher judge, and certainly Judge Lance Ito. Here's another headline. Ex-NFL great and wife slayer, OJ dies of cancer, 76. No ifs about his shamelessness. It's got pictures of all the characters during that high-profile trial. Johnny Cochran, his defense lawyer. Of course, OJ, Mark Furman, the racist cop. Has to be a racist cop involved if you have a black accused of murder. But the whole focus shifted, the media shifted the focus from Simpson's murdering these two people to whether or not Mark Furman lied about using the N-word. It's got to be ridiculous. But you had Mark Furman, Marsha Clark was the prosecutor, Chris Darden was also a prosecutor in that case, Cato Kalin and Judge Ito, of course. What a time. You know, that whole slow-speed chase in that Bronco and everybody in the country knew O.J. was guilty. But, you know, when the verdict was read, most black people were ecstatic. It's like they were happy. We beat the system. He beat the rap. And white people were angry. I was angry. Not because O.J.'s black, because he killed two people and didn't he escape justice. Now he's facing real justice, hopefully. He's facing a higher judge. All right, that's about going to wrap things up on this end of it. I know I kind of skipped around a lot tonight. There's so much to talk about. That's going to wrap things up. And if you like what you heard tonight or today, whenever you're listening to this program, hit like, hit that subscribe button, and share with your friends on social media. And check out all the fine programming we have for you on the BMG Network. In addition to the Pac-Man podcast with me, Ted Flint, we have the Essentials with my daughter, Madeline. She's working on a program, I guess, this evening. She's very busy with her schoolwork. She's a junior at SUNY Albany. So she got a podcast in the works, and we have Adrian Ross, of course, and some other fine podcasters. Really good stuff. The BMGnetwork.com, and check out all the fine columns we have for you, too, under the PAC perspective. And if you want to contact me directly, it's Pacman, PACMAN, at the BMGnetwork.com, all lowercase. And if the Lord wills it, we will talk to you soon.
The Pac-Man Podcast was produced and edited in the BMG studio. Music by Kevin MacLeod. For more episodes of the Pac-Man Podcast, go to the BMGnetwork.com or go to the BMG Network on Facebook. And be sure to tune into the next episode of the Pac-Man Podcast with Ted Flint.